I've been asked a question regarding the concussions. So I thought this would be a really good time to talk about this, because a lot of people don't really understand concussion and think concussion is essentially like a blunt trauma only. So a number of years ago, I was asked by the ICPA to talk more about concussions in my particular seminar, so I studied this quite a bit. It actually goes way beyond just the blunt trauma. It goes way beyond just hitting your head on something. There are many different ways to get concussions, and so that even though hitting your head playing sports or falling, a car accident, where you're actually hitting your head against the windshield, God forbid, or against the airbag smashing into you, which is a great way to get a concussion. Those are the obvious ways of getting concussions, but there's a lot of non-obvious ways of getting concussions, and that's anytime there is any sort of smashing of the brain against the head, even without trauma, without direct trauma to the head. So as an example, in babies, like shaken baby syndrome, the head is not hit against the against anything at all, but the baby, because the baby is shook back and forth like this, is caused trauma to the baby's brain. You can have a concussion because of explosions. The force of the explosion can make an impact that creates a concussion. You can have a concussion because you were hit in another part of your body, but your head went so quickly to one side because of that force that your head smashed into things. So there's a lot of different ways to get concussions. You could even be doing just something playful and just like dancing with long hair, like sloshing your hair back and forth like this. There's actually been written up reports about people getting concussions when they have really long hair and they're flowing their hair back and forth like this, and they can get a concussion that way. So there, and here's the key thing, is that there are six different kinds of concussion. So you don't, there's what people used to always think of is concussion occurs when there's it affects the head and the neck. So, which is the most common kind of concussion. Like, if you want more information about this, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, they are the authorities on concussion. So this is their website here, which is they're called Types of Concussions. You can see here there's six different types of concussions here, but much more interesting to look at is this picture. So let's talk about these different kinds of concussions. So we're all familiar with the cervical kind of concussion right over here. The cervical concussion, that's the most common concussion, where you hit your head, there's a or something else happens and it affects your cervical spine and it causes headaches and neck pain and that kind of stuff. That's what they used to think concussion was. And then maybe it'd also be the post-traumatic migraine concussion. So sometimes after concussions, if it's that significant, someone will also get migraines. But this is usually just in people who already have migraines. It's unusual for someone who is not a migraine sufferer later on to get migraines, unless they had a very severe injury. But then there's these other, there's four other things that were really heretofore unknown until the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center started taking a look at this. And right here, cognitive fatigue concussion. This is a really big one you're going to see in kiddos who've had a concussion. I've seen a lot of kids with this cognitive fatigue concussion, where they're playing a sport or fall down or whatever. And now, yeah, they may have a little bit of neck pain, but the neck pain very often goes away, but weeks later, they're still having this cognitive fatigue concussion, where they're tired all the time, they have difficulty with school, they need like extra time to do things, to finish tests, etc. So that's called cognitive fatigue concussion. Then there's vestibular concussion. So this is similar kind of thing, where someone can get some concussive injury, and usually what happens is you get a multiplicity of all these. You don't just get one. You get like one, two, three, or four at one time. So you'll get a cervical concussion, but you also get vestibular concussion, where now you're dizzy. All of a sudden you're not sure of your footing. You do like a one-leg stand or tandem stance, and you're kind of wobbly a little bit. So that could have caused the vestibular concussion. The next one is ocular concussion. We had this just a couple of months ago, where an adult patient who had been in a car accident several years ago reported headaches after a car accident. that have never gone away. I said, were you diagnosed with a concussion? He said, no. I said, you probably had a concussion if you're still having headaches after a car accident and he's been adjusted before, et cetera. He said, yeah, you know what's really weird? Is like ever since that car accident, I have trouble reading. Like every time I read, it gives me a headache and I got glasses that I never needed before and all this other stuff. So I checked his eyes and his eyes were a disaster. He couldn't track, he couldn't converge, his VOR was off. So aside from adjusting him, we gave him some eye exercises. Within a month, he didn't need his glasses anymore. He didn't have any more headaches. It was unbelievable. And he's like, I can't believe like I had a concussion. I didn't know it. And then the last kind of concussion is called anxiety and mood concussion. This is quite significant. We've had a number of kids like this. We had one little kiddo who was playing soccer. He hit someone else's head. They were trying to head the ball, and he hit someone else's head while he's trying to head the ball, and his whole personality changed. So he used to be like this scholar, athlete kind of kid, straight A student, played like 6 different instruments, was just an amazing kid. He became this terror, this walking on wheels terror, where he was angry, he was hostile, he was like aggressive to his friends, aggressive to his parents, that the school was saying, we don't want him in the school right now until you get this thing figured out. He came to me, he was just mad. He was ornery and mad. And we could not even get him to lie face down because he was so, he had for some vestibular effects, he had cervical effects, he had the anxiety mood effects. So, and you would lie him down and his head would start to spin or whatever. So I was adjusting him seated using very gentle sustained contact later on using activator and stuff. Within 2 months, this kid was back to school, back to normal, back to all the things he was doing before, and went back to being that scholar athlete that he was. But nobody looked at this kind of stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, and what's amazing is like the team doctors say, oh yeah, you're fine, you okay, you have a headache anymore? No, okay, good, you're good, right? But whether you have a neck pain or headache anymore, that's not the only sign of concussion. So there are many, many, many other signs of concussion, and I think it's important because if you take care of kids like I do, you're gonna see boatloads of young athletes. And these young athletes are going to have these sort of issues going on. So 99 times out of 100, you're going to see them have a cervical concussion and or a migraine concussion. And then you're going to add these other pieces. And this is also really, really important, especially if you're doing PI work. This is super important. Every single PI case you should investigate for a concussion. Every single PI case, regardless if they hit their head on something or not. You should investigate for concussion. You should investigate their eyes. You should investigate their vestibular system. Certainly ask them if they've had any mood changes or sleep changes or anxiety, any increase in anxiety since the car accident. Why is that? Because a person who's, if you're in a car accident, most likely you're going to be having a lawyer to help litigate the case. If you just say, I have neck pain and headaches, you're going to get this much money. Right, for in your settlement. If you say I have a concussion, that amount gets much, much higher. But you're not doing it for this. Like, this isn't the reason to do this. You're doing this because you're giving them a service and saying, we can't just fix the neck, right? We have to fix the whole body that's broken now, but it's also gonna serve them in terms of their, in their legal pursuits, it's gonna serve them because they're gonna get more, for that particular, because a concussion is worth more than just having neck pain. Right, so your lawyers will be very happy with that. So, but regardless of whether you're doing this with PI cases or you're doing it with kids, it's very important for you to ascertain what happened with their particular injury or episode. And with people who come in who've had car accidents years ago, had sports injuries years ago, I always delve deeper and say, did that affect your eyes? Did that affect your cognition? Do you have any other these other effects? Because there's a lot of times where people have had concussions that were never diagnosed. Kids that were never diagnosed, adults that were never diagnosed. And now what you're gonna do when you come up with this is now you're gonna start attacking not just the cervical area, which is of course primary, but now you're gonna start hitting all the other areas. So if they have eye issues, you can give them eye exercises. If they have vestibular issues, get them some vestibular exercises, etc. You're going to help all the different issues making sure that you're testing all this kind of stuff, because this is how we finally resolve people with long-term post-concussion syndrome. Which is why I think the neuroscan that we did last week in lecture and this week in lab, I think that's quite helpful to, it's a good way to kind of bring out some people who might have concussive issues that didn't even realize it.